morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to Trinity Sunday. Here are your announcements for today. Last week, we talked about a survey that's going to go out to the congregation, and you should see that in your inboxes this week. Again, if you don't do email and you need to receive the survey in a different method, please contact the church office and let us know. The survey will ask you questions about how you feel about reattending physical worship at this point in the game and what that would look like. So look for that, and we really appreciate your feedback. The vestry will meet this month to discuss a reopening plan. We're not setting a date for that just yet, but we are working towards that eventuality. As always, your thoughts, comments, and suggestions are welcome, so please feel free to reach out to a member of the vestry at any time to let us know how you're feeling right now. We want to thank the Reverend Julie Weiss for being with us this morning, and we'll continue with the service. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servants grace, by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of your divine majesty, to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seeds in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there is evening, and there is morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth and of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I was given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and earth when they were created.
Psalm 8.
O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world. Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens. You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses, what is man that you should be mindful of him? The son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him but little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the wild beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the path of the sea. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Friends, this is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth be the words that God wishes to have you hear, and may the Spirit intercede when I speak my own. Amen. Good morning, friends of St. Luke's. This is the first week after Pentecost, the week of our church that decided 900 years ago to call it Trinity Sunday. The Sunday in the church that no seasoned priest wishes to preach. It's the weekend, I'm sure, where more heresy is unintentionally preached than any other time of the year. And that is without a sermon being preached during a pandemic, or a major civil uprising, or the attempts to improve the injustices felt by our siblings of color. I will also say that preaching on this weekend to a congregation that I only know through a few visits to your church and labyrinth over the years, through your leadership that attends diocesan conventions or various events, and the peace call that I was blessed to be a part of last time I preached. But honestly, we don't know each other very well, and I can't see your faces or see your reactions, and that makes this weekend sermon all the more difficult. During our clergy meeting with Bishop Megan and Canon Andrea this past Thursday, we as preachers were reminded that we are in a tumultuous time, and that we all are attempting to wrestle with scripture, doctrine, and the current events of our lives, that we need to be gentle with ourselves and hope that our congregations will also be gentle, holding us in prayer and with grace. If I say something in this sermon that you find offensive or difficult, or if you simply want to discuss it further, I absolutely invite that conversation. I also want to offer each one of you who is listening this morning, I want to offer you an invitation, knowing that I am here. I am willing to listen to you about whatever you wish to speak. This is not an easy time for any of us. Your leadership has my contact information. I am here if you need to talk, or to cry, or to vent, or even to just sit silently with someone else. So friends, this is what I feel that I have been called to speak about this morning. It's not about some deep theological concepts or about some way that I can make one and one and one equal one. Because to be honest, even after my years of seminary and my classes in systematic theology, the concept of the Trinity creates more questions then it gives answers, I think. Might I suggest the things that I find incredibly powerful is how much our God values relationship, possibly because the very essence of our God is communal. We, in our human understanding, it seems, tend to compartmentalize and individualize the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We tend to treat them as separate, knowing that they are not. But I suggest that this is not because we willfully commit heresy, but rather because humanity cannot understand that type of interconnectedness. So instead, we are quick to label and identify the three as distinct, in some way different from each other. Many throughout the ages have even created a hierarchy of God, with the Father somehow having more authority, privilege, or power, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit underneath that God. This is simply not how our God works. Friends, it is this need in humanity to separate and label and then to give an order to all things which has gotten our society and our world into the terrible mess that we find ourselves today. When the color of your skin, or your gender, or your orientation, or how much money you make determines the way that you are treated, we are living in a world in which we pray each week and we say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Friends, these labels that we are so quick to place on one another and often willing to accept and believe in ourselves is not what God wishes for us. When the pain of systemic oppression finally comes to the surface, We see those who have long been told either by word or action that they are less important, demanding their place of equality. And while this makes many of us uncomfortable, I suggest to you that you can be comforted by knowing that Jesus walked many of the same roads in his day. He stood with those who were outcast. He helped bind the wounds of those who had been broken. He spoke out against powers that perpetuated injustice. Jesus lived in a time not all that different from ours in many ways. And Jesus followed in the way of love. That doesn't mean that he did not express his righteous anger. Remember the money changers in the temple? And we too are called to remember that our God is not a God of separate identities in which we can sort and label. God is one God, and God is a being of justice, mercy, forgiveness, and love. As followers of God, understood in new ways by Jesus of Nazareth and empowered by the Holy Spirit, I encourage each of us to remember that God is a God of community, of equality, and of relationship. Let's look at the gospel reading for today. We pick up in the last verses of the risen Jesus' interactions with his disciples when he meets them in Galilee. He speaks of how, when they saw him, they worshiped, while some doubted. But this doubt did not seem to affect Jesus as he continues to remind them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. But does he use this power for his own? He does not. His next line is what the church has long called the Great Commission. Jesus calls his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. This is not a call for dominance, but rather an invitation to all to be in this relationship, being baptized in the name of the Trinity, being welcomed into the community of equality, a community of love, a community of God's kingdom here on earth. Jesus commands that we teach what he had taught, teaching people to respect one another, to listen to one another, to stand with and for one another, and to love. Friends, these are trying times. We cannot ignore that the almost 2 million in our country have tested positive for COVID-19. And sadly, we have lost over 111,000 lives in the U.S. alone. The numbers around the world are staggering, with over 6.5 million positive cases and 387,000 of our siblings perished. I suggest, with grasping these numbers so large, it is a struggle. And knowing that each one is not only a number, but had a name and was a part of a family, a community that won't be the same. Each one of them had a lifetime of stories and teachings for us. We must not forget that we are intertwined and we all feel the effects. I cannot go an entire sermon without acknowledging that while amid the COVID-19 pandemic, our country is also reawakening to the inequalities found throughout our country. Understanding that COVID-19 is impacting communities of color at much higher rates, as is the lack of employment and little savings, inadequate or no health care, and the unjust treatment by those who hold authority. The time has come to work for our human community, to begin to rebuild, or in some cases build for the first time, our trust and relationships, and to stand for love, justice, and equality. This is not going to be easy today or in the days to come, as scientists and doctors continue to work for a treatment or vaccine for a rampant virus, and as we work with those who wish to dismantle racism, as many utilize their constitutional rights for peaceful protest, as letters and petitions and laws and bills are brought to Congress, and as funerals are held, and as our country struggles with how to move forward. We all would do well to remember Jesus' final words in the Gospel of Matthew. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, Hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may treat her gently, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our family, our friends, and our neighbors, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are scared, sad, or scared, or are suffering, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died, God of love.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Before we conclude today, I happen to know that it is Hayden and Jacob's birthday this week, so I thought maybe if everybody wanted to grab their prayer books, we could read a birthday prayer for Hayden and Jacob together. We're going to use prayer 50 on page 830 of the Book of Common Prayer. O God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on your servants Hayden and Jacob as they begin another year. Grant that they may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen their trust in your goodness all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy birthday, guys. Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Now for the blessing. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.